We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Here we go, rivalry week in Colorado. Fellas, I can't wait for this weekend, man. I cannot wait. Welcome into the Denver Sports Podcast. We are presented by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Check out the Broncos Country Pale Ale, the official beer of the month here at the DNVR bar. You can get one for $6 all September long. Sure, a bunch of you guys will hit that up. We'll probably hit that up maybe a little later today. But we're talking rivalries on the Denver Sports Podcast today, and we got a couple great ones this weekend. Colorado, Nebraska, Broncos, Raiders, and to help me do that, I got Jake Schwanitz. He covers the Buffs for us. Henry Chisholm covers the Broncos for us. I'm Harrison Wind. Fellas, how hyped are we for this weekend?
Beyond hyped.
Yeah.
I can't wait, man. Saturday is going to be just scenes all over the place, and then we get to put the cherry on top and beat the Raiders' ass on Sunday.
I know. Saturday, Buffs, Cornhuskers, 10 a.m. That's the only bad thing about this game. It's at 10 a.m., which is like, come on, man. And then Broncos, Raiders on Sunday, man. First Broncos game. I guess that's the biggest difference between these two games. The Buffs are 1-0, the Broncos 0-0. How hyped are we for Broncos Raiders right off the bat?
We are very hyped. That's going to be so much fun. I will say, though, I just got back from Broncos practice, and having spoken to some of the guys in the locker room, a few of them said pretty clearly, and I won't name names, that people who decide to go to the Broncos game 7, the Nebraska game, are making a mistake. Like, they said that the CU game is probably the place to be, which is like, they play for that, which is kind of crazy to hear, but like, that's...
They're downplaying their own season.
Isn't that crazy? Insane. Like, for CU, too. Like, that's the world we live in now.
I don't know if that makes me a little concerned about the Broncos.
they are tuned into college football. They know what's up.
Like, they're looking forward to the college game on Saturday than potentially their game.
It's like, yeah, they know. Like, they see what the ticket prices are. Like, they have an understanding of what's happening here.
The tickets are insane. It's like $400. $500 just to get in.
It's like more expensive than 30 or what is it, like 15 NFL games or something for the get-in price?
I wonder what the other one is. I wonder if it was last night.
May have been.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I guess Bills Jets got the Aaron Rodgers debut on Monday Night Football. That could be expensive.
Yep. New York market.
Oof. Yeah. Tomorrow's going to be crazy. We're heading up from Denver at 6 a.m.
6 a.m.
Bus leaves at 6 a.m. Not a real bus. It's just a car.
And I think our tailgate, our DNVR tailgate starts when?
7:30.
7:30 a.m.
Yep.
Guess we're tailgating the tailgate.
Well, I mean, you better get up to Boulder that early, because I'm just thinking, like, traffic's probably going to start to back up 8 o'clock. Like, if you try to get into Boulder after 8, you're probably not making into the game on time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Like, I'm honestly concerned that 6... Like, I almost think there's going to be a 6 o'clock rush. Like, I feel like that's kind of... 6 o'clock rush. Which is ridiculous, but I know there's a 7 o'clock rush. I know there's a bunch of people who are saying, like, okay, we got to leave at 7. Like, just a nice round number. Like, I was almost thinking, like, 5:45, you beat just the 6 o'clock safe. Rush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got me questioning my plans now, bro.
When are you leaving?
When were you planning on going up?
I was planning to pick up Alyssa around 7.
Oh, my goodness. Don't you want to see kickoff?
Alyssa, what do you think about that?
That's plenty of time.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got CU Nebraska Saturday, Broncos Raiders Sunday. Let's start with setting the stage for CU Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Jake, give us the 1,000-foot view of CU Nebraska, the rivalry, the history, how big this game is setting up to be tomorrow at 10 a.m.
I mean, you got to go back to when Bill McCartney came and was the head coach at Colorado and really put the target on Nebraska, saying, this is the team, this is kind of the standard mm-hmm. we're striving to top.
Don't be Stanford.
No one wants to be Stanford right now. Yeah. But I mean, that was like the game. Like, if you wanted to win the Big 8 or the Big 12 back then, you had to win that game. Usually came down to CU, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, mm-hmm. of course, in there too. So some sort of combination of those. Mm-hmm. It's, of course, taken a bit of a hit since realignment in 2010. Nebraska left to the Big Ten.
Right.
Colorado goes to the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's the hate's still there, though. I'll say that. It sucks that this game isn't played as much as it used to be, but the hate is still definitely there.
I almost think that because it's not played as much, the hate in some ways can grow. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're just going back and forth and back and forth, like, there's this constant bitterness, recency. But the fact that they didn't play for, like, a decade and then in 2018 played, like, everybody had been excited about that game. I mean, since it got scheduled, probably, like, 8 years earlier.
Right.
And so when you have these gaps, it's like you don't get many opportunities to play your favorite games. So you better take advantage when you get them.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking up some stats just on the series. It's been, if you go back to when it started, you know, mm-hmm. 1900s, it's been dominated by Nebraska. The season or the series history, Nebraska leads 49-20-2. Mm-hmm. That's like their record in the rivalry. They've dominated it, but 6-6 in CU and Nebraska's last 12 meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like you said, ended in 2011 when Nebraska moved to the Big Ten, Colorado to the Big 12, and it's picked up the last couple of years. Colorado views Nebraska as its biggest rival.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Does Nebraska view CU as its biggest rival?
They'd probably say no.
Who is it?
They'd probably say someone like Iowa or something stupid.
Yeah.
Somebody in the Big Ten.
Yes.
There is no Nebraska State, is there?
No.
I wonder what's up with that. Are they like D3? Do they even exist?
They probably don't.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah. But I mean, are you sensing that it's going in the direction of like maybe Nebraska eventually viewing, or maybe in the next couple of years actually viewing CU as its biggest rival? Can you kind of feel that happening?
I think so. I mean, these programs were both down really since the rivalry was renewed in 2018. Colorado, of course, won those two games. Nebraska hasn't done anything since they got into the Big Ten. And, you know, coming into this year, they were on equal footing. New coach. They heavily hit the portal.
Right.
They were trying to, you know, rebuild and get to where they used to be. And then obviously after last weekend, it kind of seems we're moving in different directions. So I think that might actually, you know, spark a little more hate from the Nebraska mm-hmm. side for sure.
Mm-hmm. G Wood says in the comments, Oklahoma is Nebraska's biggest rival. That's true. I've read that.
And does Oklahoma say Nebraska's their biggest rival?
No, they'll say Texas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's just how rivalries go.
Yep.
I'm like, Colorado does the thing with Nebraska and CSU does the thing with Colorado. Yep. Like, just like that all the way down. But to me, what Colorado Nebraska reminds me of is the like Avs Red Wings rivalry.
Mm.
Not just because like it peaked around the same time, but mm-hmm. because Nebraska kind of did get the better of the Buffs, but the Buffs also had like the 62-36 game, which is like a dagger in Nebraska that sent them on a spiral, like
killed the program.
Like they have enough big wins that they can say like, yeah, sure, you got those, but remember this one. And same thing where like what it was like 4 of the 6 that the Red Wings won mm-hmm. against the Avs. Two though were a big two.
How's CU embracing this rivalry? Because obviously, Coach Prime, brand new to this entire roster. I can't imagine there's a huge sense of the history of this rivalry, at least before this week and what it meant and what the history was. I can't imagine the locker room has been like, was that up to date on it? But do you feel like they've gotten a quick education on the history and they're kind of bought into it now?
I definitely think so. I mean, the whole message this week has been it's personal from Coach Prime to all the other coaches and players. It's preaching that it's personal, that, you know, this is something that is important to the fans, to the university, so it's important to us. Mm-hmm. And it is a collection of a lot of players from all over the country. So, I mean, it's from the players' perspective that pure hate isn't really there.
Right.
But they've really embraced it and are really trying to buy into this rivalry.
Mm-hmm. There was a quote from Jimmy Horn earlier this week. It was my favorite quote this week, and I think it gives a sense of, like, how the locker room is taking to the rivalry. Somebody asked him, have you found a reason to hate Nebraska? Mm-hmm. And he goes, no, but I hate him.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, that's perfect because, mm-hmm. no, you don't really know why you hate him, but the message has been sent that we do hate them.
Yes.
Yes.
It's the perfect approach, I feel like, with a group mm-hmm. like this.
And that was one of my big concerns is that, I mean, obviously it's a whole new roster. It's a whole new coaching staff. How do you get that point across? And I talked to some football alumni who had that same concern. And I know that there's been a concerted effort from the program to bring in some of those players who played in some of those big games that we talk about, 62-36 being an example, and to kind of share those stories and try to explain what this game means. And I know that the coaching staff has also placed an emphasis on that as well. So, I mean, it's not the same thing as when you had 20 Colorado kids on the team who grew up hating the Huskers.
Yeah.
But they've done their best, and I think they understand and probably understand better than I expected.
Broncos Raiders, I mean, what does this rivalry mean to Broncos fans? How big of a rivalry is this? I mean, how big of a circle does this game have, you know, on the Broncos schedule, and kind of just what does this game mean to start off the season for this team?
It's massive, but I think you have to start by saying professional rivalries really don't exist in the same level that college rivalries do for a bunch of different reasons. I mean, the NFL in particular, you just, like, free agency started in 1993, I think. Before that, if you played in the NFL, you probably played for the same team for a decade and then maybe got traded, maybe whatever else, but you wound up playing the same teams over and over and over again. So you play them, you know, twice a season. Well, back in the day when you only play 12, 14 games, that's very different even than twice a season now when you play 17. So there's just all these little factors that go into it. So it isn't as big. The rivalry thing just isn't as big. And part of that is the Raiders haven't had that much success. The Broncos also definitely haven't had that much success either. So you don't have, like, that history. I remember talking to Melvin Gordon last year, who had obviously played with the Chargers, about this specific thing because he'd been in the AFC West so long in Raiders week. And what he said was, I don't necessarily hate the Raiders as a concept as much as I just really hate individuals on that team. Mm. Like, there's one safety in particular who always is just doing something extra. And it just pisses me off every time. So I just want to run him over. And I was like, well, will you tell me who it is? And he's like, no, I can't do that. And so I went to Javonte. I was like, hey, Javonte, have you heard, like, Melvin talking about, like, anybody in particular this week? He was like, yeah, he's talking about, I'm not going to say who it was.
I mean, it was exactly. One of, what, four guys?
Exactly, exactly. So there is, like, there are those dynamics. Probably
could find who that was. The
process of elimination.
It's just not the same, though. It's just not the same. Yeah. Like, the stakes are just never as big. Because, like, those Nebraska games, like, wow, if Colorado wins this, they might play for a national title.
Exactly.
Like, you have to win every, there's just so much more importance on every individual game. Whereas in the NFL, it's like, yeah, you know, you go 10-7, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Right.
What about from your perspective, Jake, how big does Broncos Raiders feel from a college guy?
I mean, growing up, this was the rivalry, right? Like, growing up a Broncos fan, you hated the Raiders just naturally. If you followed the Broncos, those games were close. I mean, I remember the one in the snow. I think it was Monday or Sunday night. Mm-hmm. That game's a classic. I mean, the Tebow one where they mm-hmm. ran all over them will always mm-hmm. stick with me. And I love how they kind of open the season with them, too.
It is good. Yeah, it is fun. Good for a rivalry to kind of open the season that way. I agree.
But, I mean, what Hank said, it's kind of just faded because neither team's really been good. You know, they're not playing for the division title when these two teams match up or haven't mm-hmm. been recently. So it's just missing that little extra oomph right now.
Exactly. And I think a lot of it, it's the fans who feel it more than the players. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of those things where, sure, the players might change teams every 3 years in the NFL, maybe even less than that. Fans, though, like, if you're a 50-year-old Bronco fan, you've hated the Raiders for 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just how it goes.
Yeah. with how often like players change teams now, it's tough. I agree to like really, really have the same hatred that you used to have back in the day. But the Raiders are still the Raiders.
Exactly.
They're still silver and black. They still are owned by the Davis family. You've still got some through lines there that can spark something.
Absolutely. And I think spark something's the right phrase. Because I know there's players in that locker room who hate Max Crosby. Because Max Crosby, when he plays the Broncos, is on pace for setting like the all-time single season record. He'd have like 24 sacks if he played the Broncos every game, because he has whatever 11 and a half in 10 games. Against the rest of the league, he'd be on pace for a 7.5 sack season. Like, he's just dominated the Broncos. Same thing with Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs 7-0 against the Broncos. Like, since Josh Jacobs got to the Raiders, they've scored 28.3 points per game against the Broncos. They've scored 19.1 against the rest of the league. Like, I know that they hate Josh Jacobs. I know that they hate Max Crosby. So you do feel some of that, but it's just not the same. I think a lot of it just comes in moments where I think right now there's a little Nuggets Lakers thing that goes on, because the Nuggets are, Coach Malone is the Lakers daddy. And so that's going to be like this thing that happens for a season, and it'll die down. Maybe like they seem like they're short lived at this point.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's hit a quick break. Lots more Broncos Raiders talk on the other side. Eventually, I'm going to make both these guys give their predictions Broncos Raiders, Colorado, Nebraska, and give me kind of maybe their one player they think is going to really show out. We'll get to all that on the other side here. Guys, on DraftKings Sportsbook, can you believe we've had 7 months without an NFL game? Well, until last night. That's crazy. That's crazy.
I won some money last night.
Me too.
Thanks to the 7-point early win.
Yes.
Dude, shout out DraftKings.
Shout out DraftKings for these awesome NFL promotions. And also, I was watching the Broncos show and all you guys were picking the Lions. And I was like, there's no freaking way. Like, these guys just hate the Chiefs. But no, y'all picked the Lions and
made some money.
They won. The NFL is here. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner. The NFL is giving you a can't miss offer for week one. This week, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game. So it's super simple. Drop $5 on an NFL game. If you're a new customer, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That your bet doesn't even have to come through. Just put that bet down, get $200. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code DNVR to sign up. New customers can take home $200 in bonus bets instantly just for betting $5. That's code DNVR only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPENY to 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problems with gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort, Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. See dkng.co/football for eligibility terms and responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. There is a fly.
It's been here all day.
It's just it's out of control right now.
And the thing is, they can't see it on the camera. So if you just pretend it's just not there, nobody would ever know.
I feel like I'm going to swallow impossible. It.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to like go into my mouth eventually. That's what I'm worried about. If you are looking for last minute tickets, maybe not to Colorado, Nebraska,
but to
Broncos Raiders,
didn't get it,
damn it, check out the Game Time app. Buying tickets to your favorite event shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. Game Time, it just doesn't have sports. It has concerts, shows, comedy, theater, whatever you want. Game Time has tickets for you. They've got killer deals on last minute tickets, best price guarantee. You can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun that you'll have. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply, but create that account, redeem code DNVR for $20 off. Download the Game Time app. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. I'm gonna kill this fly, but I can't. That's the only problem.
Yeah, they're so quick.
They are quick. All right, back here on the Denver Sports Podcast, represented by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Talking rivalry week in Colorado, Broncos, Raiders, Buffs, Nebraska. What do we think is the bigger rivalry? They've both been around a long time. There's been, you know, parity in both. What do we think? I'll go to you first, Jake.
I think the CU Nebraska one, just because there's more pure hate. But I don't know. Like, as a Broncos fan, you know, there's many historical moments in this game. They've been playing in the same division for, I don't know, basically since these teams ever existed. Mm-hmm. So it's really close to me, but I, you know, I'd give the edge to college football just because, you know, we already kind of went into it. It kind of means a little more in the context
of
the season.
Right now, present day, in this moment, it feels like Colorado-Nebraska. And I think a big reason of that is obviously how this program is looked at right now compared to how it's been looked at for the last decade with Coach Prime coming off that week one win. But is that just recency bias, Hank, or do you also feel like that's bigger right now?
I kind of think that's how rivalries work, though, is there's like ebbs and flows. So what's the biggest rivalry? Yeah. I mean, right now it's definitely CU-Nebraska, but at its peak, I think you can make the case that you go back to like the probably like 90s probably is the peak. You know, it's like the it's all over Fat Man type stuff. You know, Shannon Sharp going after John Madden. At the peak, I think that probably was Broncos Raiders. Right now, though, it is CU Nebraska. Like, it's just both sides have wanted it for so long. And you have those two games, 2018 and 2019. Both of those games, Nebraska, the better team. Like, heavy, heavy favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Colorado steals them both. So that just pisses the Nebraska fans off even more. Then you've got all this more recent stuff. Like, I do think that right now it is Colorado, Nebraska, and it's not close.
Is Broncos Raiders is like a top what rivalry in the NFL? Look, I was looking up a list of NFL rivalries.
It's a ways down.
And it is a ways down, but the ones above it are like Giants, Cowboys, Jets, Patriots, Steelers, Ravens. And granted, I'm not like that totally just like embedded with the NFL. Like, I know those are rivalries, but I don't really get the sense of how big they are. Broncos Raiders feels like it's a little underrated in that sense. They've been playing together forever. There have been some, you know, peak moments of that rivalry. Mm-hmm. It feels like a top rivalry in the NFL to me.
Yeah. I mean, again, if you were to go back to 2005 and put this list together, be like, oh, Broncos Raiders, that's crazy. Like, you have the Mike Shanahan flip-flop drama going on. Like, they had all those moments. There haven't been too many moments in this rivalry recently. Like, it's just been dry. Meanwhile, I think that even through dry spells, you know, for example, like Ravens and Steelers, I think that there might just be a little bit more juice there. I think that the Broncos Raiders rivalry hasn't survived the dry times as well as some of those others maybe have. And I think it's possible to get it back. And as soon as you do have a little bit of momentum here, a little bit of hatred here, then you get to point back to that history and say like, and look what it was. But right now it just dried out so much that that hatred doesn't exist the way that it used to.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of the same. I think of like NFL rivalries. I think of, you know, like when the Seahawks and the Niners were going at it about 10 years ago. Yep. Like what the Falcons and the Saints have, where the fans truly bitterly hate each other, and it seems like that bleeds through the team. You know, through the team, Ravens Steelers is up there. So, I mean, it's one of the more historical ones. But yeah, right now it's, I don't know, is it even top 15?
Probably not. I mean, it's just so tough to count though, because like Cowboys Eagles, that's a good one, right? But you also have Cowboys Niners, which is probably way up at the top of the list. So you have these teams that like double count because they have the multiple rivalries. You know, Packers Bears is up there. There's just it's tough to crack the top of that list. And I think, again, like 2005, you ask who's in the top 10, I think Broncos Raiders is. As of now though, it's just faded away too much.
What would switching back to Colorado, Nebraska, what would a win mean for Colorado, not just in the rivalry, but at this point in the season? How significant would it be? How much momentum would it give the program if they did get the W?
I mean, I think it's kind of what they expect, honestly, what the team expects, what Coach Prime expects. Mm-hmm. I think it would solidify them as a team in college football this year that is going to make some noise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you watched Nebraska last week, they really struggled offensively, and I think Colorado thinks they can really take advantage of that, mm-hmm. of their quarterback and his ability or lack thereof to throw the football. And it would just show that the rebuild is right on schedule, if not ahead of schedule, for this entire program. And I think it would, you know, make Nebraska fans kind of think twice about Matt Rhule already in week two of his first year. Like, look at what Coach Prime was able to do rebuilding a roster in one offseason. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that in Nebraska. So
right.
Mm-hmm.
And then conversely, what would a win mean for Broncos, for the Broncos over the Raiders? Not just from a rivalry mm-hmm. perspective, but from first game of the season perspective.
It's massive. I mean, there is just so much to win here and so much to lose. Because, again, like, first of all, you got to set the stage with the fact that the Broncos have lost six in a row to the Raiders. Like, mm-hmm. That's a monkey you want to get off your back. And they've just been dominated by the two good players that they have. I mean, they have three. They have Devontae Adams, who's been very good.
Broncos have really lost six games in a row to the Raiders.
Oh, yeah, six in a row. And
it's not even like these have been great Raiders teams.
No. And again, like, so Josh Jacobs, he's drafted in 2019, beats the Broncos his first game, misses the second game, and that's the last time the Raiders or the Broncos beat the Raiders, and has played ever since. So he's 7-0. It's like, it's just that era that has been defined. So I think that that's a monkey that Broncos fans want to get off their back. The Raiders are also a bad team. Like, just objectively, look at power rankings, they're not going to be in the top 25. Like, they're not a good team. They just have a few good players.
Yeah.
You have McDaniels as their head coach. You look back through this whole... I mean, so Mike Shanahan is the head coach, I think, for 14 years. And in the 9 years since... Or no, it'd be 14 years since, I think it actually is. The Broncos have had 9 coaches, I think. 8 or 9 coaches, if you count the interims. So there's just been no stability since Josh McDaniels took that spot. So now you have him coming back after he went 2-0 against the Broncos last year in a season that was otherwise a train wreck. You have Sean Payton coming in saying, like, hey, I can be a legitimate head coach. Well, if you're a legitimate head coach, you should be able to beat this terrible, terrible team.
Yep.
But with all this history there, it's just tough to believe that that's going to happen, because we've seen Josh Jacobs run for 100 yards a game and just win every single time.
Right.
So there's a lot.
What would a loss mean? What's the story coming out of the Broncos locker room if they lose?
The tough part is, like, I don't think that Broncos fans are super excited right now. Like, you bring in Sean Payton, there should be this big bump in expectations and not even expectations, just general vibes.
Why aren't people more excited? Is it because it's pretty much the same roster?
Yeah, same roster. We saw what Russell Wilson did last year. And on top of that, it's been 7 years in a row of missing the playoffs, 6 years in a row of losing records. And before that, the Broncos had appeared in more Super Bowls than they had losing records.
Yeah.
But now this has just become kind of the world that they live in. And it's tough to have belief and hope at this point. And so it's like, Sean Payton still doesn't get people going the way that it probably should. And that's why if you lose this game, I don't know that you lose too much, just because the standards, the expectations are already just kind of low. People expect the Broncos to be pretty lame still.
I feel like there's a ton riding on this game for the Broncos, because mm-hmm. if they win and they win in somewhat convincing mm-hmm. fashion, even if they just get a win, you can talk yourself into the Sean Payton revival.
Yep.
But if they lose, the sky will be falling, I feel like.
I mean, they're bad.
Going to be questions about Russ.
Yeah.
Going to be questions about the overall construction of the roster, George Payton. It opened Pandora's box. They lose this game, I think.
And you just look at through the lens of, I mean, how many teams will they play that are worse than the Raiders? Like, the Texans probably are. Mm-hmm. I think the Bears probably are, but some people might not. Like, there's only a couple. You play the Texans on the road. Like, this is arguably the easiest game on the schedule when you don't look at the matchups and what's happened recently. So you just look at it that way and say you just lost potentially the easiest game on your schedule. They're not going to the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the risk factor for Colorado seems a little lower just because they mm-hmm. got the one win out of the way. Yes, they are favored in this game, but it's probably not the end of the world if they were to lose it, right?
No, I mean, if they do lose it, it'd be because Nebraska, you know, just gets super fired up. They, hey, you know, the coaches coach their asses off during the week and come up with an amazing game plan to really counter what Colorado can do.
Yeah.
I do think there would be some freak out, but it's also perspective. It's college football. This is non-conference. Like, at the end of the year, you can take a loss in non-conference and still have a great season.
Yeah. Yeah.
To me, it's like the end of a game of horse. Like, they just hit, like, a free throw. Guy, the other guys missed the shot, and it's like, okay, time to prove it. Like, you just hit the shot. Right. You know you can do it. It's easy. Like, you should have this one.
Yep.
But, and as soon as they do that, then all of a sudden they've arrived. You know, that's that's a legit top program in the country, top team in the country. Why can't they compete for a Pac-12 title?
Sure.
So this is just like the one that on paper seems like they should have it. And if they do, then they're just, you're off and running.
Yep. Yeah.
This is for real.
I mean, this is the potential just hype train accelerator.
Oh yeah.
It's funny, man. Like, I've watched CU football a lot. I've been around it my whole life. It's never been at this level. But you do feel like with a win a week from now, it would be like doubled, tripled, quadrupled. I don't even know what it would be like. The potential, it's just like, it's never been like this.
Yeah.
It just never has.
It's just it's been a wild ride so far. And I mean, at this point, it's like, I'm not going to put limitations on Coach Prime in this team. Like, after what I saw last week, like, that was one of the best quarterback performances of the year that we're going to see.
Man.
And it was in week one. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, the books included. I don't think they've really caught up to the talent that Colorado has. And I think that, you know, they win this game. And if they win it in convincing and dominating fashion, that's when everyone starts to realize, all right, this team is not only number 22. They are much better than that. They are going to make some noise this year.
To me, that's just where the floor just shoots up. Because even right now, like, I'm bought in. I think the Buffs are legit. I think they can contend for Pac-12 title.
Yep.
And if you win a Pac-12 title, good chance you're playing a college football playoff, which sounds crazy to say, but, like, that's, you can't put a ceiling on it right now. But of all the teams, you could say, like, I could see them winning the Pac-12 title, you know, which means you're now in this college football playoff conversation. How many of them could you also look at and say, you know, they, week one, you know, maybe that team isn't good. Like, there is that possibility. Maybe that was a little bit fluky. Maybe they caught magic in the bottle. Maybe this is still a 4 or 5 win team. And I don't think that's the case, but if you beat Nebraska, that's when you say, okay, good team. The floor is actually much higher. Floor is a bowl game.
Yep.
You're shooting for even higher.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's hit another break. After this, I want to go over keys to victory for the Buffs, keys to victory for the Broncos. We'll get both sides of it right after this. Guys, if you are going on a road trip, if you need some snacks, Circle K is the place to stop. They got gas. They also have just, like, the best food. There's nothing more disappointing if you're going to fill up on gas and you just need a snack and you walk in and they just don't have a good selection of stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Circle K always has a good selection. My favorite road trip snack is sunflower seeds.
Yes, sir.
What's yours?
I always go with something different. I like those powdered sugar donuts. That's my favorite.
Ooh,
they're just so bad for you.
They are bad. And then you're...
Exactly.
It gets all over your hands, too.
To me, yeah. And that's the thing. And that's why last time I was on and you said sunflower seeds...
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, I really should be doing that more. So I think even though I haven't had sunflower seeds
are tier one.
Elite.
It's been like a decade for me, but I think it's my favorite now.
Another one I wanted to go with was beef jerky.
Great.
But the problem with beef jerky is it's overpriced. It's just too expensive. And there's a little bit of a smell factor, too, if you're in the car with other people.
Yeah. Definitely.
But those are my go-tos. They have them at Circle K. Thanks to Circle K for sponsoring DNVR. Visit the nearest Circle K to pick up all of your favorite finds if you're going on a road trip or if you're just filling up on gas. Guys, make sure you got your Shady Rays on this weekend if you're at Folsom for CU. If you're going to Broncos Raiders also, take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays, they're an independent sunglass company. They've got a world-class product. You can go to ShadyRays.com, browse their entire selection. They have so many different brands, so many different styles. Whatever you're into, Shady Rays has it. You can also shop in person if that's your style. They have a location at Park Meadows Mall, a full-stop shop for all things Shady Rays. Go to ShadyRays.com. This is exclusive for our listeners. Use the code DNVR. Get 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try it for yourself. The shades rated 5 stars by 250,000 people. All right. Back here on the Denver Sports Podcast, presented by Breck Brew, the official beer of DNVR, talking rivalry week here in Colorado. Let's start with Broncos Raiders. Keys to victory for the Broncos. What do the Broncos need to do in order to get a win?
So the Raiders have 3 good players. Wait, and so really? Stopping each one of those is one of the 3 keys. Start with Max Crosby. I mean, I brought that up. Derek Thomas from the Chiefs, great all-time pass rusher, 18 and a half sacks in his career against the Broncos in 22 games. We already have 11 and a half in 8 games for Max Crosby. So he's not at the top of the list yet, but it's climbing. And shout out to Eric Schubert from the Broncos for figuring that out, because I didn't have a pass to figure it out. We were in the locker room. Thank you.
Where is Max Crosby in the defensive lineman power rankings?
I mean, he's an easy top 10.
Uh-huh.
Arguable top 5. Okay. Because you have like Nick Bosa, Aaron Donald.
Miles Garrett.
Micah Parsons. Miles Garrett. So you just... Yeah. You feel like he's way, way up there, but then you start thinking about it. Like, that's how any of those
rankings always go. So maybe tier 2.
Exactly.
In the top 10, but in tier 2.
Exactly. But again, like I said before, if he were, based on his career paces, if he played the Broncos every game for season, all-time sack record. Mm-hmm. Plays the rest of the NFL, 7.5 sacks. So how much of Max Crosby's like standing within the league just comes from what he's done to, you know, either Garrett Bowles or whoever the right tackle's been. But so you got to stop him. Luckily, Mike McGlinchey played him when he was playing for the 49ers last year. Handled him pretty well overall. A couple of mistakes early. Great the rest of the way. They're probably going to double team him a bunch. You can do that because they don't have any other good defensive players. Should I hit 2 and 3?
Yeah, who's the second of the 3 good players on the Raiders?
Josh Jacobs. Okay. He 143 yards per carry in wins last year, 71 yards per carry in losses. He had 6 100-yard games. The Raiders won 5 of those games. They only won 6 games all season. Like, either he plays well or they lose, mm-hmm. and he's played really well against the Broncos. So stopping him is very, very, very important. I know that the Broncos really want to stop him, and the veterans are very frustrated by the fact that they haven't in the past. So that's number 2. Then number 3, you've got Davante Adams, who beat up on Pat Surtain in the second game last year. Mm-hmm. I think 4 catches on 5 targets, 80-something yards on those plays, 2 touchdowns, went to the end zone. Camera picks him up saying, like, he's not ready, he's too young. So that's how it went. Game before, though, Pat played great. Pat held him to 5 catches on 9 targets, 6.6 yards per target, which is below average for an NFL passing game, which is what you're hoping for when you leave somebody one-on-one. And I think that it's going to be up to Pat to... You know, he's 23 now. He's an old man. He's got to be the seasoned veteran, ready to handle Davante on his own and shut him down. And if he does that, I mean, if you handle all 3 of those keys, I mean, the Raiders legitimately don't have another good player. So that's just an automatic win. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you shut down all 3, this might be like 40-3. If you can just limit them, exactly. If you just limit
mainly
them,
because of how bad the Raiders are outside of those 3 guys.
Exactly. You limit those guys, then you still get a win. Yeah. You don't have to totally shut them all down. That's crazy.
Yeah. Right.
Pat Surtain was on the DNVR Broncos podcast
this week. I know.
He's on your guys' show once per week.
Yeah. Rumor is he will be on next Tuesday. I was actually talking to him today, and we were talking because he's from Bama. He's like, yeah, that Bama-Texas game tomorrow is going to be awesome. It's like late, so I'm going to be able to watch it. Bar's going to be packed. It's like... Mm-hmm. Damn right, the bar is gonna be packed. It's gonna be crazy. That, but he brought it up. He was like, "That bar is gonna be insane." It's like, "Yeah."
Is he coming to the bar?
I don't think so. But he did. His eyes lit up when he talked about it.
That's the thing about the DNVR bar. I mean, Derek White was here watching TCU last week. You never know who's gonna be at the DNVR bar.
Derek was a good time too. He was like weirdly tuned into my Montana Grizzlies football game I was watching. He kept trading our hats, and he has like a weirdly small head. Which was the point. So it just like
he does have a really small head.
It was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Derek White, small head.
Yeah. Derek White, fun guy too.
But awesome guy to watch a Buffs game with.
Yes. Very, very awesome guy. Yeah. He walked in, everybody's just like, that's Derek White.
Everybody was like that, but then we were watching the game going crazy, and it was just like everybody was treating him like a regular CU fan.
Yeah. It all came back. Yeah. And I was thinking like, okay, because we knew he was walking in. It's like right at kickoff, bars packed. I thought there was going to be like applause or something. It's like,
well, he is a Celtic, so it's...
It's tough. Oh, also, one more piece of information from that. He does think the Celtics are better than the Nuggets.
Oh, no.
So...
Derek.
Guy's crazy.
Derek.
How could he?
What is his premise for that?
I don't know.
Oh, that's for a different show.
It is.
All right. CU Nebraska. What are the couple of biggest keys for the Colorado Buffs to get a win tomorrow?
I mean, just sustaining momentum, really. The first one, you got to keep that up offensively, because if this turns into, you know, a scoring match, just trying to get into the 30s or 40s even, I think CU wins this game handily.
Mm-hmm.
You got to control Jeff Sims. He struggles throwing the football.
Nebraska quarterback.
Yep, the Nebraska quarterback. He did run for 91 yards last week against Minnesota, though. And, I mean, it's like any other, you know, running college football quarterback. They are doing designed runs. They're going to make you play 11-on-11 football purely. Mm-hmm. And so stop the run. Make Jeff Sims be a thrower. I really don't think this team is able to match up with Colorado in terms of the talent on the outside, on either side of the ball. I don't think they have the weapons that can really get open against Travis and Omarion Cooper. I don't think they have the guys that can cover Travis and Jimmy Horn and Zay and Dylan out of the backfield. So,
nobody does.
Just sustain momentum, really. Limit turnovers. Force them into passing situations, and I think they win this game pretty easily.
Pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why is the spread what it is?
I don't know.
Is that just people not believing in the talent on the roster yet?
I think so. I walked out of the TCU game, and I was like, all right, this game is going to be, right now it should be CU minus like 13.5 or something. At least double digits. I was shocked when I saw it was still, then I think it was 5.5, and I was like, that's not enough. It's at 2.5 now.
I know.
What is happening?
It went from 5-something to 3, and now it's at 2.5.
It's ridiculous. So, yeah, people aren't paying attention, again, as it's been happening all offseason. And, you know, Shador's one of the best quarterbacks in the country, and if you have the better quarterback in football, you're going to win a lot of games.
It is true, though, that Nebraska wants it really bad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And in college football, more than maybe like any other sport, wanting it really matters.
Mm-hmm.
Except for maybe like boxing.
It's like both guys like take the just kind of like,
I'm
usually
not going down. Yeah. But yeah, no, college football is weird.
Except for boxing.
Right? I feel like that's the other one. Like you take the, if you can just take the punches, just keep going.
Yeah.
I guess at some point your brain just stops.
Yeah. Yeah, at some point, usually.
Yeah.
I mean, my biggest question about Colorado is the defense.
Uh-huh.
I'm a total believer in the offense. The offensive talent is ridiculous. Uh-huh. I mean, in the backfield, wide receiver, Shedeur Sanders missed like maybe one throw against TCU. But they did give up 42 points.
Yep,
that's a lot.
And, you know, part of me thinks like defense usually comes together after the offense. They have obviously an entire new defensive team. Are you worried about the defense, or do you think it's better than it looked in week one?
I mean, I think they just played a pretty explosive offense.
Or is it just really impossible to stop anybody in college, kind of?
I mean, it's a little bit of that, too. I mean, this was basically going to – that was a Big 12 football game last weekend for, you know, just classification purposes, I guess. Obviously, CU's doing that next year. But it was wide open. Defense was kind of optional. But that being said, I mean, Travis – they tried testing Travis. They got a few early, and then he just started to – just take over. Omarion Cooper, the other corner, didn't allow a catch all game. Trevor had the interception. So stopping the run with them is going to be the big issue, because TCU, I think, ran for 200-plus on them.
Yeah.
So limiting that is obviously going to be the...
262.
There you go.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So
but I didn't realize
they passed
bad.
For 279. They ran for 262.
I mean, they gave up a long 74-yard run. I know. I hate when people do that stuff, too. Take out the longest run. And look, but it
that
all
was,
counts
that
the
was
same.
The Mel Tucker thing.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, you know, those explosive plays, like, our defense has been great, if not for these 60-yard touchdowns.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, that's kind of the problem. Yeah, you're giving up the explosive plays.
And the thing
plays.
Is, like, you're not turning that 60-yard touchdown to nothing. Like, turn it into, like, a 20-yard gain, you know?
Yeah. I mean, one of the storylines coming out of last week was CU didn't get any sacks. They didn't get any tackles for a loss. But they were getting pressure on Morris. Like, he's just a very athletic quarterback. They got another one this week. Morris was able to just kind of scramble around. There were multiple times they tackled him 2, 3, 4 yards down the field, you know, a less athletic quarterback, that's a sack. Mm-hmm. But you are playing another athletic quarterback this week.
What was the score of that Nebraska? Was that they lose 10-7, 13-10?
13-10.
13-10. I do think that Minnesota's defense probably held up better than Colorado's will. I think that, like, if the Buffs hold Nebraska 10 points, I'd be surprised. But, I mean, I've been surprised before, so what does that really count for? But I think it's more likely they give up double that.
And Nebraska had one touchdown last week, and it was on a trick play that was almost a disaster.
That offense is bad.
Yes.
And they somehow scored on it.
That crazy, offense man. Is bad.
Insane.
Except, I mean, but again, you don't contain the quarterback. All of a sudden, there's 60 yards out of nowhere.
Exactly. Like, he can bust one for, like, 70, 80 yards on the first play of a drive, and it's like, all right, now things have definitely changed. So.
Yeah. Getting back to the Broncos, Hank. What are your realistic expectations for Russell Wilson in this game on Sunday, week one, and going forward this season?
That's a big question because...
It's the question of the
season. Exactly. Like, this week, you have Cortland Sutton. You probably don't have Jerry Jeudy. You got Marvin Mims, the rookie. And after that, you're looking at, like, Brandon Johnson.
Don't know who that is.
Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Don't know who he is either.
And then that might actually be the only, they might only play four receivers if Jared is hurt. See, that's the thing is like the weapons this week are not great. And that could give you like a false negative. The thing is, if things go well, it won't be a false positive because you are playing, you're playing against a bad team, but you're playing with tough weapons. So, I mean, this week, if he goes out there and just is efficient, even if he has like the Patrick Mahomes game from last night, where you're like, oh, how did the receivers not make those plays? That could be a good sign, just knowing you don't have all of your weapons right now. So I think reasonable expectation, go out there, throw for 230, complete better than 60% of your passes. Don't turn the ball over. That's a fair expectation and would probably be like a decent sign for the season. I mean, what? You reasonably want 3,500 yards. You want 25 touchdowns. You want to keep it to single digit interceptions. And again, I think if you get that, that's probably a reasonable expectation. After last year, I think you'd probably be pretty excited about it.
Yeah. It's funny, man, because I kind of expected the hype on Russell Wilson, a Russell Wilson bounce back to be a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
Like Sean Payton coming in, quarterback whisperer, look what he's done with quarterbacks his whole career.
Yep.
Russell Wilson was playing for a terrible coach. Now they have competency there. But I kind of get the sense that everybody's just like, oh, we'll see.
Yep, exactly.
Well, I expected more positive vibes around Russell Wilson than there are heading into week one.
That's fair, but it's bleak right now. It's been bleak in Broncos country for at least 5 years, probably 6 years.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's just so tough to pull out from. And when, how many Broncos fans were like watching Russell Wilson play more than three times a season before last year? Like it wasn't a lot. Like
not
you,
a lot.
You knew that he was good. You knew they'd won a Super Bowl. You knew that the defense was the best part of the team in that Super Bowl run.
Mm-hmm.
The running game was probably second. But you knew he was like a very good, he was a Pro Bowl quarterback. But then what they've seen a lot more of is just what he did last year and that it wasn't good and that he was 34. This is age 35 season and he's a mobile quarterback and you're hoping that he improves. Like there's just so many things that weigh it down. But there's also the fact that Sean Payton could put quarterbacks in better situations than probably any coach alive.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get those quick hitters. Like you're going to get them to the line in time to read the coverage and know what's going on and know what to expect. You're going to get those running backs out of the backfield. Like there will be enough easy plays that he's going to be better for sure and probably significantly.
Yeah. Do you have any hope for Russell Wilson?
I mean, man, last year just left such a sour taste in my mouth. And obviously, you know, everything is going to be better in terms of the scheme, in terms of just play calling, like situational stuff. They're going to get timeouts at the right time. Like,
right.
I don't expect, you know, the crowd to be counting down the play clock, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the things that I'm most optimistic about with this team. Russ would be it'd be behind that for sure. Like you said, he's 35 and he was a running quarterback and that was how he really like did his damage in Seattle. Those plays where he's, you know, shifting a little bit, just like knifing through little openings and then people think, oh no, he's running. And then he just flips it up for a pass real quick. Like we need to see more of that for me to get fully back on the rush train.
Yeah. Yep. Me too. I'm not hopeful. I'm not optimistic about Russell Wilson. but I hope Sean Payton proves me wrong.
How much could things change for you on Sunday?
If he comes out and looks great?
Yeah.
I will be on my way to being bought in if he looks great.
Yeah.
Just because Sean Payton is, in theory, such a big upgrade as a coach.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, like, that can do a lot for just a team. So, mm-hmm. Even if it's against the Raiders, I'll be a little mm-hmm. bought in, absolutely.
To me, though, it's not like the TCU game where it's like, oh, you beat TCU? I'm all the way bought in. Like, you guys are great now.
Right.
Because, like, it's not like that. Because going into the TCU game, I don't know about you, but I didn't know if the Buffs were good or bad.
Like, yeah,
I mean, they could have been. They could have come out of that game and they would have like lost. I've been like, all right, like they still got a lot mm-hmm. of work to. They still got a ways to go. I had no idea what to expect. The Broncos, I feel like we know what to expect.
Yeah, that's a tough part.
Yep. Yeah,
this haven't had as much change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's hit a final break. On the other side, I'm going to get some predictions for these guys for Colorado, Nebraska, Broncos, Raiders. I can't wait to hear what they have to say.
Oh, yeah.
Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. The beer of the month is the Broncos Country Pale Ale. You can get it for $6 here at the DNVR bar. It's going to be packed tomorrow. I know that. It's going to be a good crowd Sunday for Broncos Raiders. I know that. It's going to be popping all weekend here. Corner Colfax in New York. Stop in. Broncos Raiders, Buffs, Huskers. Huge weekend of football coming up here at the DNVR bar. We have tons of Breck Brew on tap, but make sure to get that Broncos Country Pale Ale, the beer of the month, $6 at the DNVR bar. All right, back here on the Denver Sports Podcast, Rivalry Week. Let's start with Buffs, mm-hmm. Huskers. What's your prediction, Jake? And then I want kind of one storyline that you think is going to emerge from this game.
Score prediction? Is it what
you're
asking?
Sure.
I'm going to say 42-13. See you.
A blowout.
Yeah.
That's a blowout.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
an ass whooping.
Yeah. I think they're going to kick their ass. I think the narrative coming out of this game is Shedeur Sanders is a legitimate top three Heisman contender this
mm-hmm.
season.
Mm.
That was very similar to mine. Yeah. I was thinking 52-21. 52-21.
Let's go.
But then mine is like, which Buffalo is in best position in the Heisman race?
Because right now there's three.
You got Dylan Edwards right there, too. Right now,
there's Dylan Edwards, Travis Hunter.
Yep. It's like, we got these other running backs coming back. And it's like, I'm sure they're great.
Yeah.
I also might just let Dylan Edwards run until it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as it doesn't work, then you start rotating more. But for now, like, he's giving me 4 touchdowns a game. Like, ride that till it dries up.
Mm-hmm.
Does Travis Hunter play more or less snaps than he did in week one?
Ooh, great question.
Or about the same?
I'm going to say he plays less because I think that the game is in hand.
They won't need him as much.
Yeah.
You don't run him in the ground for no reason.
He'll have his shoulder pads off by the end of the fourth quarter.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Do you let him play against CSU is the question for me. Like, do you just say like, maybe just take a little bye week here. We'll be fine without
him. Or just play one side of the ball.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would technically be like an off week for him.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy. He could maybe just play the first half against CSU when it's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right. So Buffs blowout. Huge game for Shedeur Sanders. Top three Heisman with Caleb Williams and somebody else.
I really like what Michael Penix did last year, quarterback for Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Or last week.
Last week, yeah.
What about
week.
Bo Nix?
Nah. can't do it. Can't
he does
do it.
Hate Bo Nix.
All right. Broncos Raiders, Hank. What's your prediction and what's one big storyline you think comes out of it?
Wow. 30-17 Broncos win.
Mm.
I know it took me. I was like, I should really make sure this lines up with what I said on the Broncos podcast. Can't just be throwing random numbers
right,
everywhere.
Right.
But yeah, I do think like the Broncos might not have a huge talent differential very often this season. I think the general consensus is that they have a pretty average roster, maybe even below average roster. But I do think this is one of the weeks where even if you're pretty low on the team in general, which I'm honestly not, there is a gap here.
Mm-hmm.
There is a gap between what the Raiders have and what the Broncos have. And I think that it's so clear what needs to be done to win this game that if you have Sean Payton as your head coach, you should be just fine. Like, he can find a way to stop Max Crosby,
mm-hmm.
to at least keep an eye on Davante Adams. You put Pats there to start the game, and if you need to help out, you help out. And figure out how to slow down the running game. Like, it's Sean Payton. He knows how to do those things when the objectives are so clear. You know exactly what you're getting. I think he can handle it. So 30-17 to me, and I think I don't think there's much buzz. I think there might be a little, some murmurs where it's like, hey, maybe it's possible this will be fun, but I don't think many people are just going to all of a sudden jump on the train.
Who do you think has a good game for the Broncos, though?
I'll go
the defense, if holding them to 17 points, it is the Raiders, but like that'd be a solid showing, I would think.
Yeah, it'd be very solid. And that's what Justin Simmons is tempting, because I do think he doesn't get the attention that he deserves. You know, led the NFL in interceptions last year, was right there the year before. Like, he's the best center fielder type safety in the NFL. And you're playing Jimmy Garoppolo, and the book on him is he's really good at running an offense. He'll hit every throw. He gets the ball in playmaker's hands. He'll let him get off into space and run. And there's a few differences between him and Tom Brady, who, you know, it's the Josh McDaniels type thing, play for the Patriots. Right. The biggest one, though, is that he gives you two, maybe three really dumb throws a game.
He does.
And when you have Pat Surtain, who's great at picking the ball off, I think that's an easy choice. It's like one of those gets to him, he gets a pick, he's off and running.
I could see it.
Yeah.
I could see it.
Sutton might have a big game, too.
All right.
Yeah.
No other receivers.
Score prediction, I'm going to say 24-17 Broncos win.
Close game.
Close game. I think, you know, comes down to the fourth quarter. I think that Sean Payton's just a better coach, and I think that's really what shows in this game. You know, limiting Josh Jacobs in the run game, I think, is massive. I think Pat has a real opportunity here. We know what he is. He's arrived for us, right?
Yep.
I think he can really arrive and solidify himself as the best corner in the game with a good showing against Davante Adams. I want to see that. I want to see some sacks, man. We haven't had pass rush really since Vaughn was in his prime, actual prime here in Denver. Give me some sacks. Let's see that we have a pass rush and just a well-coached football team.
That'd be nice.
Yep. Yes.
That'd be nice.
They'll be better. It's just, I can't give any details because we're not allowed to report what's said at practice. But I really wish I could, because you just stand there and you watch these practices. And get, for me, I started last year, so I only know Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
This is not Nathaniel Hackett. This is like, this is like 500 level, whatever the top level classes is. Whereas last year's like 100 level classes.
Intro to communications.
Yeah. And also, like, the professor's probably wrong. Like, it's like a low level class, and it's also like, I think it reminds me of like high school health.
He's just banking on he's banking on nobody doing the reading. So
exactly.
Just...
There's a whole page in my health book about like marijuana. And like, you read it and you're like, I don't think any of this is actually true. Like, I think I can Google this and it's just not. That was Nathaniel Hackett.
I love
it. Great analogy.
That was a great analogy.
Thanks.
That was great. Yeah. It's funny because my biggest concern, again, like not being at Buffs practices and not being inside the program, my biggest concern with the Buffs heading into week one was that they just wouldn't look confident.
Yeah.
You know, an entirely new team. That is just coming together, new coaching staff, but they looked like the most competent team in the country.
This coaching staff is for real.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what it seems like.
Oh, dude, they've got so much NFL experience, so much college football experience, national title experience, recruiting experience, getting some of the best players in the country over the last 10, 15 years. And they're coaching the hell out of this team, man. Mm-hmm. And it all starts with Coach Prime. He has something to prove with this, that he can do this, that he can, you know, flip college football on its head, change the game is what he'll say, and build a roster over one offseason and show that I can bring in players to win anywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to end it. Before we get out of here, I do want to mention we have two game time game of the weeks this week.
Ooh.
Colorado, Nebraska, tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, 10 a.m. at Folsom Field. Then Broncos, Raiders on Sunday afternoon. You can get tickets on game time. Definitely for Broncos, Raiders. Limited tickets available for Colorado, Nebraska, though. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy these games. Talk to you guys next week.